There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Welcome back to part two of Next on the Tee. We're not done yet. Coming up, more stories, more insight, and more reasons to love this game. Let's dive right back in. Part two starts now, right here on Next on the Tee, where golf legends live and your game gets better.
Hey, Next on the Tee Nation, thank you so much for coming back and pressing play on part two of this week's show featuring my conversations with the great Mitch Lawrence and Dr. Bob Winters. As you guys know, Mitch has been a wonderful friend on this show for many, many years. He's not only a friend, but a guy who has been a mentor to me, like I say, a cherished friend, and a guy that I look up to a lot. When I look back over his career, you guys have seen him in shows and movies dating back to the 70s. But a guy who also was at the forefront of golf podcasts, most recently co-hosting Talking Golf Getaways, which is probably the best golf travel podcast in the history of podcasts. Mitch was kind enough to get off of a plane practically from a recent trip up to Alaska to spend some time with me. And this time around, we talk about a trip that he took over the summer over to some of the lesser known areas of Scotland. And he played some historic courses. Wait till you hear those stories. We also get into some of the historic courses over here. He's a big Mike Strands fan, so we talk about some of the masterpieces that Mike has created over in and around South Carolina, North Carolina, Caledonia Golf and Fish Club, True Blue, and Tobacco Road, which we learned would be the place that Mitch would play if he had one more round of golf to play. So you'll hear all those stories when Mitch joins me here in just a minute. He is followed by the confidence doctor, Dr. Bob Winters, and this month's theme is around questions. Questions we should be asking ourselves when we go play golf. Why do we play the game, first of all, and what do we want to get out of it? He talks about also how to make better decisions and the questions that we need to ask when we're out there playing. So great stuff as always from Doc. So folks, sit back, relax, let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next hour or so. I think you're really going to enjoy what both Mitch and Dr. Bob have to share with you this week. All right, but before we continue and get into the rest of the show, I want to start off by giving a shout out to my great friends over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. TribLive.com is the leading news website for Western Pennsylvania with news around the clock. Pittsburgh pro sports coverage, a high school sports network, a podcast network, which you can find Next on the Tee on. So go out and bookmark TribLive.com or download the TribLive app for free and stay up to date with all the news in Western Pennsylvania and this show. I also want to talk about our friends over at the Pittsburgh Brewing Company and Iron City Beer, a brand that I have loved my whole life and started drinking when I was 21 years old, of course. Whether you're a hacker or a scratcher, the secret to a successful day on the links is knowing when it's time to grab an iron, even if that means keeping it in the bag till the 19th hole. If it's been a while since you've reached for Pittsburgh staple beer, it's time to revisit Iron City. Thanks to their incredible new facility in Creighton, the best tasting Iron City beer ever made is now available at a course near you. Iron City pairs well with any lie and sky and serves as a friendly reminder that there's always next round. And because it's never too early for chocolate, their double chocolate bock is back for the season and it's the perfect companion for a cozy winter evening. Check out all of their wonderful beers and their gift shop online by going to PittsburghBrewing.com. And this year, get ready to experience a game like never before at The Keep, the brand new Bill Bergen and Reese Jones co-designed course at Macklemore. Nestled high atop Lookout Mountain, The Keep offers breathtaking vistas that are made even more spectacular as the autumn colors paint the landscape in rich hues of red, orange, and gold. With its challenging layout and awe-inspiring views, every round here is an unforgettable adventure. Whether you're taking on the signature holes or just soaking in the scenery, The Keep is where your best golf meets nature's finest backdrop. So grab your clubs and join us up at Macklemore. The Keep is open and it's waiting for you. Okay, now back and next on the tee with me is one of the great people that you get to meet in this life, a wonderful friend, and certainly one of the best individuals in our game, and that is Mitch Lawrence. You know Mitch from his years on both sides of the camera. He was a great actor in both movies and television. Be sure to check out his IMDb page to see the amazing list of things that he has appeared in. We'll touch on some of those in just a moment. For years, Mitch also hosted a great podcast called Talking Golf Getaways. He is a passionate voice and one of the great storytellers in our game. He is also an expert on golf history, tradition, and Hickory Golf Clubs. He is a treasure to our game and certainly to me, and I couldn't be more honored that I get to spend some more time with him this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Mitch, how are you, my friend?
After that, I'm great. My head is down, I'm blushing, and I am great. It is always a treat to be here with you. Anytime I get to talk to you, I'm just grateful.
Yeah, as am I, my friend. You've meant a great deal to me over the years, and I couldn't be more thankful for our friendship.
Likewise, ditto.
All right, so I want to go back to a trip you took this past summer. You were telling me you went over to Scotland back in July, so I got to hear all about it. Tell me about your trip there.
It was really, really interesting. I've been lucky being in the golf media world for so long now. And this was my sixth trip to Scotland. And I had, on the other trips, gotten to play a lot of the iconic courses around Scotland, around the St. Andrews area, up in the Highlands, places I was really familiar with. There were a couple of bucket list courses I have yet to play. But I turned 75 unbelievably last March, and my wife asked me where I wanted to go for a present. And so I said, I have to go back to Scotland. I don't take anything for granted. And I think I've told you before, but my heart and my golf soul is truly in Scotland from the first day I ever set foot there. And so in thinking about it, I thought, I've already played so many of the great courses, and I had a relatively new friendship over the last couple of years with a man named Jim Hartzell, who's a writer and an architect, among other things, who lives in Alabama. And I had gotten to be really friendly with him. And he wrote an unbelievable book that your listeners, if they haven't heard of it, should really try to find it, called When Revelation Comes. And it's about his lifelong journey to Scotland. He'd been going for about 30 years. And he has a very special place in his heart. I won't get into it why. For Erin, he had been going there. This is an island off the west coast of Scotland, and I had never been to the west coast. And in reading Jim's book and talking to him, I decided, you know what? I think this is a place I want to visit. And he put me in touch with a guy named Greg McRae, who lives on Erin and has all his life and is kind of the golf ambassador for the Isle of Erin. And so after talking to Jim a number of times and Greg, we wound up booking a trip. And for your listeners, the reason I wanted to talk to you about it is because if you love golf and travel, whether you've been to Scotland or not, most people have never been to Erin. It is a golfer's paradise, in addition to being a spectacular island. But the island itself has seven golf courses scattered all around the outside of the island. And each one of them is fantastic, different. And I wound up, thanks to Greg and Jim, being able to play what has now become, I would say, among many great favorite kind of courses, in my top three courses that I've ever played.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's a place called Shiskin Golf Club. And it's on the west side of the Isle of Erin. It's a 12-hole golf course with incredibly spectacular scenery, a perfect number of holes, all different, all unique. And the only way I can describe it, because we don't really have enough time for me to do it, is when we finished playing there, I turned to my wife. My wife Ava went with us and our friends Bob and Vicky, and the four of us played. And when we finished playing Shiskin, I said to Ava, I want my ashes to be spread here.
Wow.
That's what I felt, not just because of the greatness of the course and the people, but because I think it represents everything great about the game. Not that other courses don't. But anyway, Shiskin was magnificent. The nine-hole Cory Golf Club is just like Shiskin, totally unique, incredible experience. And all seven courses you can go. If you want to talk about a golf trip, you can play all seven golf courses on the Isle of Arran. For you get a Golf Arran pass, and it cost £140, which is about $175 to play all seven golf courses.
Oh my.
Yeah. And they're all different, and they're all, like I said, just amazing. The land is incredible. The people on Arran, you've played enough golf around, Chris, to know it's really about the people. And I had loved the Scots before. I've always felt an affinity to them. But the welcome and the way they share their courses and their golf clubs and the whole experience is, if people are thinking about going, yes, by all means, go to St. Andrews, go to the Highlands, play Dornoch, play Nairn, you know, play all the courses you've longed to play. But if you have an extra week, I really suggest booking a trip to the Isle of Arran. It's easy to get to. You get to it by ferry. But it is just amazing. And it was one of those experiences when we got home. It's been with me every day, literally, since we got back in July. And I can't say enough about it. So that was kind of for me, even though I didn't realize it at the time, kind of a bucket list trip to Scotland. And I've told everybody I know, and hopefully some of your listeners will be interested enough. They can, if they go to online on the social media platforms, Golf Arran, A-R-R-A-N, or Visit Arran, they can find out everything they want to know. And I couldn't guarantee a trip more than I do going to the Isle of Arran.
So did you get good weather while you were there? That's always the roll of the dice.
It's always a roll of the dice, but I have played golf in Scotland in the most extreme Scottish weather you can play. So to me, I just kind of go, okay, we're going, we're here, no matter what it does. And the first day we got to Arran, I had scheduled a round at Cory, which is a nine-hole course, as I said. And you go up, and there's a very small, tiny kind of shed, which is they call it the pro shop, but it's a little shed with an honor box outside. So when you go and you pay, you either leave cash or you can put a credit card in. There's nobody there. And you just kind of walk out onto the first tee. And the minute we pulled up in the driveway, there's so many stories I won't go to. We pull up in the driveway because our taxi canceled and we got a ride from a guy who was at our hotel, drove us the 20 minutes. And we got there and we stepped out of his truck and it started pouring. And when I say pouring, I'm talking Scottish sideways rain.
Ooh.
And we just went, okay, we're here. And so we played Cory, which is a kind of a hilly course with rocky outcrops and incredible holes. And we wound up walking the entire nine holes in the pouring rain.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. We laughed. I'm telling you, we laughed. And we just kind of marveled and kept, because we were there 2 minutes and we were soaking wet. So we just enjoyed the day. And the next days were all great. We didn't have any rain after that. And so every course we got to play, the course is on Arran. And the other spectacular course is you take another ferry from the west of the island over to what's called the Kintyre Peninsula. And on the peninsula, at the lower end of this peninsula, which is about an hour and a half drive, are two courses. One's called Dunaverty, which is special to my friend Jim Hartzell, for reasons people will understand if they read his book. And the other one is Macrahanish, which nobody really knew about for years until they discovered that it was old Tom Morris's first real course.
Oh.
And it is, we didn't get to play it because we didn't have time. We had lunch there and walked out to the first tee and saw that, which is historic. That spot is historic. But those two courses are on Kintyre, and playing Dunaverty there and all the courses on Arran, and it couldn't have been a greater trip. Couldn't have been a greater trip.
Are you playing modern equipment when you go there, or you bring in your hickories?
I brought 7 hickories with me.
Is that right?
Yep. That's all I brought.
Wow.
I just figured I'm in Scotland, man.
Yeah.
That's it. And you do that and you start to really understand that it's just about hitting shots with different clubs, you so quickly get away from 14 clubs in your bag. And that's to me, the real fun of the game. You know, that's really the game. So it was great.
Yeah. So I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, I admire about you and your golf game when you're playing with your hickories is you've long since left caring what the score is and just play shots, like you said a moment ago. And it's just for the enjoyment of being out there and you know, the creativity and all of that sort of thing, and being on the golf course and being with friends. You talked about that at the beginning. It's all about the people. To me, I think that's just a wonderful way to play the game now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I have to tell you that the hickory thing, I mean, once I really got into it, I felt a lot more connected to the actual game. But doing it in Scotland on that land with that history and the way people look at the game, they really look at it very differently than we do. They're incredibly grateful for the chance it gives them, walking the land and just feeling it. I know it's kind of a spiritual thing, but it's an amazing connection to the game that's been around for centuries. And that's something that, you know, I cherish that.
Mitch, I want to switch gears just slightly, because when I had the privilege of meeting you in person for the first time a couple of years ago, it was out at Caledonia Golf and Fish Club, and along with True Blue, and they're a couple of the top courses in the southeast of our country, both designed by Mike Stranz. You got to walk the course and be out there before it ever opened to the public. I want to know what it's like to stand on a Stranz, what I call masterpiece, before everybody else got an opportunity to get out there.
Well, what's really interesting to me now, and the time flies, so it's amazing to me. But in the 90s, I was living in Charlotte at the time and had a chance to come down to Myrtle Beach and start filming what would become On the Green, a golf show that ran 24 hours a day in all the hotel rooms in Myrtle Beach for about 20 years. And as part of going around and filming at all these different golf courses, one day I went down to Caledonia. It wasn't open yet. It was in the process of being finished up. It was probably at that time, maybe a couple months from opening up. It opened in January of 94. So this was probably in the fall. And I didn't know anything about Mike Stranz. And I started talking to a guy named Danny Young, who with his father, Larry, were responsible for a number of courses in Myrtle Beach, including the Legends was their project. And Danny and I walked out and we were standing in the middle of a fairway. And he started explaining to me who Mike Stranz was. And it was his first solo design in Myrtle Beach. So nobody knew about him at all. And he started saying, this guy is unbelievable. He will go out into the middle of completely covered kind of forested tree area with a sketch pad and a topographic map. And he would disappear in there. And a certain amount of time later, he would come walking out with sketches of golf holes from that area on a sketch pad. And I was standing there going, what? And he said, he's an artist. He's not just a golf course designer. He had worked for Tom Fazio. But this was his first shot. And he was completely enthralled by Stranz. And as I walked around, I started becoming enthralled with it also, because it was unlike anything I'd seen in Myrtle Beach. The land, obviously, even at that time, was incredible. The setting for Caledonia, people who haven't been there, it's built on this amazing marshland and beautiful views, but the way the holes were looking to be, when I first saw them, I kept looking and going, I don't think I've seen a green complex like this. And I don't think I've seen green surrounds like this. And I was just kind of, I was taken by the originality of it more than anything at the beginning. And as time went on, it then opened. And as the years started to roll, it, like you said, it's become a top 100 golf course in America year after year. True Blue is in that category now too, which was Stranz's fourth design. It's about half a mile away from Caledonia. And I don't really know of too many sister courses, 1-2 punches, if you will, that are better than Caledonia and True Blue. And Mike Stranz since then has become an icon to me and my friends. Between the two of them here and Bulls Bay, which is near Charleston, Tot Hill Farm, which is in North Carolina and is absolutely spectacular, was early designed by Stranz that's been redone now and is magnificent. I've played a couple of his courses in Virginia, Royal New Kent, and Stonehouse, which have been reworked also so that they're really up to date. But the original designs are completely unlike anything. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that I don't know how strongly to put it, but Tobacco Road, for people who have gotten wind of Tobacco Road, which is outside of Pinehurst in North Carolina, if you gave me one course that I'd want to play, it probably would be Tobacco Road.
Really?
Which is probably, I know it sounds strange. There's a number of courses I could live with playing every day. But in terms of beauty and challenge and unique quality of holes and just an unbelievable adventure, that's the only way I could put Tobacco Road, I think it would be there. And it's a glorious example of what Mike Stranz was all about, because he really felt that golf was an adventure. He said one of the things I loved early on that I read about him was he said, if you play the scorecard, you're going to have a tough time. If you play the adventure, you will have the experience of a lifetime.
Wow.
And so again, if you're going out to try to shoot a number, have fun. But if you're going out to be with your buds and experience something really different, that's all Stranz courses are really like that. So thanks for bringing up Caledonia and True Blue and Tobacco Road and Tot Hill. And, you know, I could go on and on because this is, he's really, I have a lot of great designers that I admire, but I don't think anyone more than Mike Stranz, that's for sure.
Mitch, I want to switch gears again. And you being a New York guy, I'd be remiss if I didn't get your reaction to all the things that went on during this year's Ryder Cup event. What did you think about what you saw and heard?
Well, I have, I think, a little bit of a unique perspective, which is that, as you know, my lovely wife Ava is from Sweden. We spend a lot of time in Europe. And we also went to the Ryder Cup in Rome a couple of years ago. And one of the things that I realized in my gut, even though intellectually I knew I would feel this way, I think, was I really got the difference between how we view the Ryder Cup here in America and how the Europeans view the Ryder Cup over there. And I got such a hit on it when I was there. We would sit in some of the, you know, in the bleachers and the stands around different holes, kind of in the middle of European fans. And there were a few of us that were American that went on this trip. And the thing that I felt immediately was, and it's almost, and like I said, it's a gut thing, it's a heart thing, is the way they dealt with the competition, which was, obviously they wanted Europe to win, but they also appreciated the competition of it. So if somebody on the American team hit a great shot, they applauded. They didn't boo. They didn't. If somebody on Europe made a putt or did whatever, they cheered. They were happy. But there was a really different feeling that I had sitting in the stands. And I get why that team is hard to beat. I really get it, because it's about so much more than just a two-year competition. And I'm not saying that the American players don't want to win, obviously. That's not my point. But this is a cultural thing to them, because most of their players go back to growing up in places where the whole village was involved in golf in all these different countries. So from the time they were kids, the town was supportive, the village was supportive, the country was supportive, and it's just a very different feel. There's not much we can do about it here. I really don't believe that. I mean, we may win some Ryder Cups, but that would be just pretty much based on talent. So when I saw Beth Page, and I had a feeling this was going to happen, especially being from New York, I was really worried before it started. I was kind of nervous about potential things happening, just knowing how the crowds might get. I was incredibly disappointed to see what happened. That's the only way I can put it. I think all the stuff with Rory that went on, the way that whole episode kind of played out over those days, it really disappointed isn't a strong enough word, not just because of kind of watching it and saying, oh, I wish the Ryder Cup was better, but just because I never have thought about golf in that way, ever. And that's just kind of my hit on it. I was incredibly disappointed. And I think it said a lot about kind of part of the modern game, which has gotten away from competitions like that. And I'm not saying they were 100% perfect all the time. I'm not naive. But I think the real foundational part of what team competition and match play is about was really took a big nick in my book during that Ryder Cup. I really do.
Do you think there's going to be any hangover from that? I kind of worry a little bit as we look ahead to the 2026 PGA Tour season. And Rory, I mean, he's obviously a polarizing figure on some level. People love him. People don't like him. And then, you know, we went through everything that we did last year when Rory was the face of the PGA Tour and the whole LIV thing and how they kind of threw him out there and kind of threw him under the bus, if you will, with everything that went on as we were kind of making our way through all of that mess in 2024. But now as we get into 25 and 26, I'm a little worried, Mitch, that some of this is going to stick to him and people are going to try to get under his skin no matter what he does.
Yeah, I think so. And my only hope is that there will be enough people who kind of want to get away from it, that they may hold those people in check, you know, out on the golf course. I think we're in danger of, and I said this after the Ryder Cup, if I were Rory, he's done everything you need to do. I could see losing Rory to the game. Really? I really could. I know he loves competition, but I think after what happened with him, what happened with his wife, I'm not saying he's going to leave now, but I think a lot of it has to be determined from here on out. And I know the players don't want that, and the players, I know we're not happy about what happened. Maybe they can rein people in. Maybe they can, you know, make some kind of change in attitude and get back to what we all love, which is the game and the best players in the world playing it.
Right.
So, you know, he may go for some more majors. We'll see. I do know that and this is one thing that I think is a byproduct. I think the DP World Tour will be eminently stronger than it was before.
Yeah. And that's where I really was thinking he might go. He might come play the majors, but say, you know what? I know he lives here, but he has, you know, intimated that he might move back, you know.
And
take his family, move back and play there.
I know. And he's in a tough position because his wife is American. You know, it's not like, I think if that weren't the case, he would have been gone after the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
I could have seen him saying, I'm going back home. Like I said, he doesn't need it. And he may and he may not. I know he has a lot of close friends on tour that live near him that he's really friendly with. I mean, he and Justin Thomas,
right?
You know, they're and that's the part that's kind of got to sting a little bit. I think he's in a tough place. I do. I don't feel sorry for him. He's got a great life. He's Rory.
Right.
So, but I just think all of us somewhere in our heart, I just wanted to get back to, I'm old school. You know me, I'm 75 years old. I remember some great, great times along the decades that I've been in love with the game. I just want to go back there.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to the competition and watch great players play.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not quite to 75 yet, but I do feel old school about things. And I just, you know, I just feel like this was a microcosm of where our society is at in the Twitter world, where
you've
got burner accounts and, you know, people slamming other people and
kind
of where we're at in our society. I think we've lost our way and civility has kind of gotten thrown out the window and we need to go get it and get it back up.
Yep. And I agree. And I do think that's a really important point you just made, which is we can't expect it just to come back. We literally have to get it. That's why I said, if anything starts to happen on tour, I'm hoping that there are enough people in the crowd and around that will just say to people who feel differently and feel like they're entitled to say, okay, enough. Don't do that here. We don't want it here.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll happen.
One of the things that I've said to a couple of other people, I don't know if you remember, but back in, it was probably early 90s, might have been in the late 80s, there was a football game that the Bengals were a part of and they got a bad call. And Sam Weish was the head coach of the Bengals at the time. And the fans started throwing things down onto the field. And eventually they had to get him on the PA system and say, you know, hey, if you see anybody doing this sort of thing, point them out. Let's get them out of here. You don't live in Cleveland. And I thought that was a hilarious moment at the time, being a Pittsburgh guy. But I, you know, take a twist on that, right? But, you know, in the PGA Tour and the fans, if you see something going on and you see someone yelling something that isn't appropriate or doing anything, point them out, get a security agent, get them over there and get them out of there.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of like the way Augusta National runs the Masters, right? They don't put up with any shenanigans. I think we might need to get back to that.
Correct. I agree. And by the way, just so you know, as a Steeler fan, I got to hang with Sam Weish a lot.
Is that right?
Yeah, I played in a bunch of golf tournaments with him, and he was one of absolutely my favorite people.
Yeah, absolutely. He's hilarious.
And that's who he was in real life too. He was he was great. So that's, I hadn't heard that story, but it makes total sense to me now.
Mitch, before I let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're out there doing, following you on social media or online.
Well, the thing I would recommend, if people haven't listened to my podcast partner, Darren Bunch, and I had done a whole bunch, about 250 podcasts as a solo host. And then Darren and I started doing Talking Golf Getaways. And the last one we did, which was our friend Greg McRae on the Isle of Arran, I think was number 189 Talking Golf Getaways podcasts. And most of them are not dated at all. So I would say, if your listeners want a whole bunch of really great listening, in addition to Next on the Tee, when they're, you know, when they've finished your podcast, maybe during the week, they can listen to Talking Golf Getaways. And I think the easiest way to do it, thegolfnewsnet.com, Ryan Ballingy's great site, is kind of our home. But if you want quick access, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or iTunes, you can get the full list of 189 podcasts. And if you just look at the guests we were incredibly fortunate to have on, you included, you know, that's a great way to kind of connect. I think there's a lot of them that people would really enjoy listening to that are relevant right now. So, and we've still got a few more in us, so you never know.
There you go.
There you go.
Mitch, like I said at the top, you're just a treasure to me on a personal level and to our game. I owe a lot to you, and I'm so grateful to you for our friendship. I can't thank you enough for, you had a tough trip back just yesterday from Alaska, and to turn right back around to do this show means a lot to me. And I can't thank you enough for your time and for being here and all you've meant to me over the years.
Thank you, man. We both feel the same way about each other. The game has given me so many great things. And among them are the friendships that I've made, and yours is up there at the top of the list for sure.
Same here. Take care, my friend. Go get some sleep. I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Okay. Thanks.
See you, Mitch. Folks, that is the great Mitch Lawrence. Again, a finer human being on this planet you will not find. He's been a mentor to me, a great friend to me, and really helped me a lot during the beginning parts of the show and the middle parts of the show. Listening to him and the way that he goes about his business and the way he did Talking Golf Getaways with Darren and some of his solo podcasts has just been something that I tried to mirror and to try to learn from. Like I say, that's why he's been a fantastic mentor. And look, Mitch was also a great actor. I highly recommend go check out his IMDb page to see all of the great things, the TV shows, the movies, SNL. He was a part of that from the beginning and a lot of other fantastic shows that he was in there. And one of the things we didn't get to tonight, but we'll do it next time. He was in The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, coming on the heels of Halloween and Scary Movies. That movie still bothers me to this day, and he was a part of that. So we'll talk about that next time. But a great man and a great show that he was a part of. We'll catch up with him, hopefully, before too long. Coming up next is the great Dr. Bob Winters. You guys know how fantastic he is each and every month when he comes on and shares words of wisdom, inspiration, positivity, all of those things that are going to help us play better when we get on the golf course. That's why he is the confidence doctor. Before I bring Doc into the show, though, I want to remind you about our friends over at On Point Golf and their out of this world On Point Golf Ball Marker. And if you don't have one, folks, you really need to go check it out at onpointgolf.us. Get the number one ball marker in the game of golf. On Point is the only three-dimensional ball marker out there with alignment technology and a removable coin that is approved to use according to the rules of golf. As you know, putting is all about line and pace. Mark your ball with On Point. Engage with your three-dimensional ball marker and have more confidence in your line, execute the putt, and you're going to lower your scores. Do what the likes of Jim Furyk, PGA professionals, and amateurs alike are doing now. They use the number one ball marker in golf and they lower their scores. You know Ken Duke and Thongchai JD. They won for the first time on the PGA Tour in 2023, and they were using an on-point ball marker. Get yours at onpointgolf.us and make more putts. And oh, by the way, you can also customize the removable coin for any club, event, or corporate outing. They make really great tee gifts and custom products. That's also going to help lower your score. I use On Point ball markers. Mine is black and gold, 3D black golf ball with a gold line down the middle to help me line up my putts. It's like having a 15th club in my bag. It's helped my game. Why wouldn't you let it help yours? Again, onpointgolf.us. See what I'm talking about. Order yours today. I also want to remind you about our wonderful friends over at Squares Golf.
So Nick here. What if there was a golf shoe embraced by hundreds of thousands of golfers, celebrated for its stability, comfort, and distance? What if this shoe earned the title of most technologically advanced golf shoe by Sports Illustrated? And what if the company behind that shoe spent the last year perfecting a brand new category of golf footwear? Well, the what if is here. Introducing the all-new Pro S 2LT by Squares, a new class all of its own, the perfect blend of lightweight comfort and stable performance. You'll notice the difference. Change your shoes, change your game. Squares.
Also, a warm welcome to the Next on the Tee family, to our new friends over at Sunday Swagger. Look, folks, if you're tired of boring golf clothes, Sunday Swagger is changing the game with their boldest collaboration yet. Officially licensed Guinness apparel that brings iconic style to the golf course. Their premium polos, button-ups, and quarter zips feature four-way stretch and moisture-wicking fabric that moves with you. Whether you're crushing drives or raising a pint at the 19th hole, their fall collection blends Guinness's legendary heritage with Sunday Swagger's eye-catching designs, plus accessories like head covers, towels, and even custom beer sleeves to keep your beverages chilled while you're out on the golf course. With styles for men and women available online and in select stores, you're guaranteed to turn heads and spark conversation. Visit SundaySwagger.com and join the Sunday Club for exclusive drops and member benefits. Sunday Swagger, polos with personality. Now back in Next on the Tee with me is the confidence doctor, Dr. Bob Winters. It's great having Dr. Bob back with us. We missed him last month, so things weren't quite the same around here in October. As always, Doc is here to help us think differently, develop confidence, and play smarter. You can find him down in Orlando at his performance enhancement company, or at the Ledbetter Golf Academy at the Reunion Resort. The work he is doing with players ranging from junior golfers all the way up to tour players is amazing. He is developing winners at every level. In fact, Doc is the early pioneer who developed mental training for junior players. He is also a board member of the Next Tour, which is a feeder tour for the Epson and LPGA tours. And I couldn't be more excited. I get to have him back with me again this month here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Dr. Bob, how are you, my friend?
Chris, it's great to be back with you on the show.
I appreciate you. So, like I say, we missed you last month. I know you got a lot going on. Catch us up. What's been happening with you?
Well, I've been traveling quite a bit, you know, doing a lot of speaking and some keynote speaking. And I've also, you know, just had a wonderful trip out to Las Vegas and Mesquite, Nevada. And I played some great golf out there and some beautiful golf courses. And we had kind of a family reunion. I was doing some different clinics out there as well. But we played four great golf courses right there. And if the listeners have ever played them or haven't gone out there, I would, you know, strongly suggest it. We went and played Falcons Ridge, you know, our very first day. Then the next day we played Casablanca Golf Club. And Casablanca has their resort and, you know, the casino right there. In fact, that's, you know, they're hosting the Nevada Open right now. And I have several players playing in that Open Championship. Then we went to Wolf Creek Golf Club, just a spectacular, beautiful place. I mean, it is, every hole is just a picture postcard. And then we finally ended up at Conestoga Golf Club. And I got to tell you, I played from the very tips of every one of those golf courses. And, you know, really had some great rounds. And really the round I was really most pleased, even though I had three bogeys, was the Wolf Creek Golf Club. And we played it, I think it was about 74-50 where we played it from.
Wow.
And I shot 71, so I felt pretty good about that. So,
Yeah,
we were hitting the ball, you know, pretty well and making a few putts here and there. Gave some away, but I also made a few too. So it was really good. So, as you know, I've always loved to talk the talk and walk the walk. And I think that's really important, you know, for who I am and what I do with my players.
There you go. So, Doc, our topic this month, if you will, is around questions. Questions we need to ask ourselves regarding what we really want when we go out there to play. So what questions should we be asking ourselves each time?
Well, I think, you know, so many golfers just go out there with a questioning mindset. And the questioning mindset, they always ask themselves, well, the first thing when Chris Mascaro comes off the golf course, the first thing people do not ask you, the question is not, hey, Chris, did you stay cool, calm, and composed in every shot? Did you stay emotionally stable? They don't ask that. The first thing they ask is, what did you shoot? So the first questions that, you know, me, I say 99% of all golfers, they ask themselves, you know, what will I shoot today? What will happen today? Will I play well? How will I play? Will my swing show up? I mean, they talk about their swing like it's a third person, you know. So, yeah, we had it yesterday, but I don't know where he or she is today. And, you know, they ask other questions. Who am I playing with? Why is this happening? And that, to me, is the big question, you know, that most golfers ask. Why? Why is this happening to me? And for me and for all of my players, the first thing, you know, I always ask them, you know, this is the first question. I mean, I ask them, are you good? I mean, I'm looking for a knee-jerk response. Are you good? Meaning, do you believe in your talent? Because the most important thing you have when you step up on that first tee, when you go play, is do you really believe in your talent? Are you going to give yourself the emotional freedom to go out and play the way that you want to play? And I'm always saying, you know, instead of why is this happening? You have to ask yourself, what is it that I really want? What is it that I want to do today? And will I allow myself, will I give myself the freedom to play the way that I know I can play? And then the other question, taking that why and go, well, why not? Why not me? And for me, you know, and I have been around for a long, long time. And that's the first thing I ask my junior players, college players, my tour players, you know, why not? You know, somebody's got to win this thing. It might as well begin and end with me. So that's really where I'm kind of going. And, you know, when we start talking about having a great mindset, I think one of the greatest quotes, Chris, that I heard many years ago came from the Australian Bruce Crampton. And Bruce said that golf is the ultimate compromise game. He says it's a compromise between what your ego wants you to do what experience tells you that you can do, and then what your nerves allow you to do. I think, you know, those three things right there is sort of, if you can actually, you know, get your mind right, get your emotion, you know, stable, and allow yourself just to tap into that pool of talent that you've been developing, I'll tell you what, then you're off to the races. I mean, it's a lot easier to talk about than it is to do. But that's really, you know, why you're preparing, you know, so hard. Because everybody wants to win. But it's like the great IU legendary basketball coach Bobby Knight said, everybody wants to win. They have that will to win. But not everybody wants to prepare themselves to actually get ready to win. No one really wants to put in the practice time. And I think, you know, when you hear coaches like that, I mean, the great coaches, the Joe Paternos, the Bobby Knights, the Nick Sabans, they're always talking about, you know, that preparation level. So you have to ask yourself, am I ready? You know, have I done the work? And now that I've done the work, I've done all the training, I've got to transfer that now and go, I'm going to give myself the permission, the belief, and the trust to go out there and tee it up and play the very best I can. Because, you know, the whole notion about winning, you know, for me, it isn't the outer game. It isn't the external reward. It's that winning is winning the battle of doubt, just winning, you know, that battle for your mind and just, you know, letting yourself play the way that you know you can play. And when you can do that and feel like you're getting better every day, wow, you're really where you're right where you need to be.
So, Doc, let's take that a step further. When we hit a poor shot or maybe we have a bad hole, we tend to say negative things to ourselves, negative things about ourselves. How should we respond to get ourselves going back in the right direction?
I think, you know, you have to understand that you know, bad shots, you know, bad results are going to happen. In fact, I was just giving, you know, a nice little lecture this morning about the symbolism of a rose and how a long-stemmed rose sort of represents a round of golf. Because, you know, that long-stemmed rose, there are what we call prickles or the thorns on the road, on the rose, on that stem. And when you actually prick yourself, you have, you know, a bad shot or whatever, you've got to get through that. You've got to keep, you know, climbing that stem. And that's where you start getting the leaves, and the leaves give, you know, nourishment to the bloom. Because everybody wants to have that perfect rose bloom. Everybody wants to hit that perfect shot or have that perfect round. But really, no rose is absolutely perfect. It's beautiful, but it has a lot of thorns along the way. And I think that's really what a round of golf is. You've got to be able to take the good with the bad and the indifferent, because they're all shots. And as soon as you actually hit a shot, you have to be able to park that shot, you know, to put it behind you, kind of like the Lion King, you know, Hakuna Matata, to put it behind you and keep moving forward. That's the whole point. I think everybody wants to regurgitate. They want to keep going back into the past. They keep wanting to keep bringing their trash with them into the next shot. And one of the big mental skills that, you know, I've always been trying to help players with is to be able to accept what is, you know, and what has been, and keep moving forward. And so when you start talking about that, you start talking about what we call focus and flow, being in the present moment and taking care of what's important, what's in front of you right now. And that's what Lou Holtz used to say about winning. WIN is an acronym for what's important now. And the most important thing is the shot in front of you. I hear a lot of people say, it's the next shot. Well, no, that's not really right. What's really important is the shot you are on right now. The next shot is coming up, but the shot in front of you right now, that's the only thing that you can control. And so when we start talking about your performance, you've got to have great attitude, great effort into each and every shot with full intention, full commitment, and a sense of purpose. And if you can do that over and over and over, I mean, we talk about, you know, the psychology of what we call beautiful redundancy, just doing the same good stuff over and over. But it isn't just routine. It isn't just over and over. Each shot is a new creation. And I think that's really what, you know, the brain is really looking for. The brain is saying, hey, body, tell me what, you know, we're doing here. What is it that you really want? So when you actually say, I have a specific target in mind, I have a specific task, you know, the brain tells the body, this is what we're going to do. So when we actually, you know, give ourselves, you know, a great directive, it's very positive, it's very purposeful, that's when you start to see some good results.
Doc, a couple more before I let you go. When you're working with a student, what questions are you asking of them, whether it's someone who's trying to make it all the way up through qualifying to get out on tour, or even if it's just one of us, someone who just simply wants to get better? What are the questions you're asking of them?
Well, I think the first thing is got to be very, very open. You know, it's like, you know, what's on your mind? You know, what's going on with you? What is it that you want? And what challenges, you know, are you facing? You know, which ones are you facing right now? Which are the ones that are kind of getting in your way? And then I'm also asking them, you know, this very basic question, you know, when you are playing your very best golf, what's going on? And it's really funny because a lot of people cannot tell you when they are playing their very best golf. They really can't. I remember, you know, reading about Kari Webb years ago, who was number one. And she was, you know, sort of self-reflecting when someone said, do you think you're better now than when you were number one in the world? And Kari is a wonderful, you know, player. And she was a great student of Ian Triggs. And I knew Triggsy pretty well because I had Rachel Teske, one of his students as well. And she was talking and she said, I'm so much better now than when I was number one in the world. She goes, but here's the point. And this came from a transcript that she was giving a great interview in the LPGA interview. And she said, when I was number one in the world, I had all the confidence in the world. I knew exactly what I was doing. She goes, as far as playing, I mean, but I didn't question. It's like, oh, here's what you do. Here's how you think. This is what you do. She goes, in fact, I didn't really question it. I just did it because it just seemed natural to me. Now, after all these years, I've never really had those answers. So I'm sort of relearning the mental game all over again because I used to do it just naturally and didn't know what I was doing. So one of the questions I always ask is, what are the things that you do to prepare to play a great round of golf? You know, do you know what's going on when you have played a good round of golf? You know, have you journaled it? Have you written it down? Have you kept any notes? Because people say, well, I can't tell you very much about what I'm doing when I play my best golf. But then I say, well, what about playing your worst golf? And they said, well, hell, I can write you a whole bunch of novels about that. I mean, there's not enough paper here to actually, you know, write up. So what I'm always telling them, I said, well, if we just do the opposite of everything you're doing poorly, we'll probably end up in a pretty good place over here on the other side. So that's just sort of really what, you know, I would tell people to do. You know, when you're playing your very best golf, what are you doing? And if you're doing it and you know what you're doing, continue that process because that's a winning process.
That's awesome. Doc, before I let you go, remind our listeners again, how can they stay up to date with you on social media, on your website, and then let them know you're going to be back here again as we start the month of December?
Well, I can't wait. And I hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving and going into this holiday season. They can reach me, you know, at, you know, theconfidencedoctor.com. They could reach me at, you know, GolfZone Ledbetter, davidledbetter.com. They can find me on Instagram at Dr. Robert Winters, Facebook, Dr. Bob Winters. And they can just Google me, Dr. Bob Winters. I've been around for a long time. So, you know, you can find me if you're looking for me. And we're always trying to, you know, to help, you know, people. And as I've always said, you know, Chris, you know, my trademark is, you know, change your mind, change your game.
Perfect. Doc, you're the best. I can't thank you enough for coming back. I missed you last month. I'm certainly glad we got to spend some time here on this episode, and I'm already looking forward to December. Thank you so much for everything you mean to me and the show.
Thanks, Chris. You know, have a great Thanksgiving.
You do the same. See you, Doc. That is the great Dr. Bob Winters, folks. Again, theconfidencedoctor.com is where you can find him online. Dr. Robert Winters and Dr. Bob Winters on social media. As you guys know, right, I always keep my notebook next to me when Doc comes on the show. Wrote down a couple of more nuggets. What did I write? I got out of this. Get your mind right, right? That's what we got to do when we're going to go play golf. Winning the battle of doubt. Got to win the battle of doubt, right? We can't go up there with doubt in our minds because what's going to happen after that is not going to be good. And then write down what you did to play well, right? That's the opposite of what we do. He's exactly right. we get to the 19th hole or we get home and we replay in our minds all the things that we did wrong. We don't make note of all the great things that we did during the course of the round. Make note of those things. Make a mental imprint of that. Write that down. Keep a little journal of that. And then that way we can go out and repeat it and do more of what that was. You know there's going to be more coming in December, so I look forward to catching up with him then. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this episode of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks go out again to Mitch Lawrence, Dr. Bob Winter, Shane LeBaron, and David Duvall for joining me this week. Scheduled to join me next week are Tom Patry will be back with us, as will Terry Hashimoto, a master of so many technological advances. He is absolutely amazing. And speaking of amazing, we'll get a return visit from our great friend in 1984 gold medal figure skater Scott Hamilton. How great is that guy? So, folks, it's going to be a great time. I hope you'll come back and press play and be a part of it with us. As always, I want to thank our friends again over at the Pittsburgh Tribune Review for hosting this show on their site. For coverage of everything going on in Western Pennsylvania, including your favorite sports, just go to triblive.com. You can find this show by then clicking on the sports section tab, and you'll see the most recent episode right there for you, front and center on the homepage of the sports section. Or you can click on sports and then podcast network. You'll then see the Next on the Tee logo. If you click on that, many of the most recent episodes from this season are right there for you as well. But you can find this show pretty much anywhere you get your podcast content, including out on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, GolfNewsNet.com. But folks, as always, I can't thank you all enough for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. A huge amount of vitamin G. What is that? Gratitude goes out to each and every one of you, like I say, for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate each and every one of you so very much. Until next time, hit 'em straight, my friends.
Thanks for joining Chris again this week on Next on the Tee. We hope you enjoyed the conversations as much as we did. Please share the show with your golf buddies and be sure to follow it on Trib Live or your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Thanks for pressing play and being part of the journey. We'll see you next week, right here, where the best minds in golf share their stories.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.